Hey, this is Bob Enyart. Today's subject matter is going to be tough, mom or dad, if you have kids in the car. So please use your best judgment.
Warning, warning, there's truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I've got an email from an emergency room nurse here in Colorado that I'd like to share with you. A longtime friend of Bob Enyart Live is a psychiatric caregiver here in the Denver area. And this nurse, her email is consistent with what I have had shared with me over coffee on any number of occasions from our longtime friend. We'll get to that soon. First, I mentioned last week our many online portals and how we'll be adding ABC, that's abortionbreastcancer.com, real soon, to ARTL and to KGOV, RSR.org, and TOL, that's TheologyOnline.com, and ProLifeProfiles.com, and on and on. I mentioned that HLI, Human Life International, published an article on late-term abortionist, and this is just a week or so ago, and they were quoting a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of California, San Francisco. And this woman, unsurprisingly, she spent her career urging sex on demand, abortion on demand, and she wrote about late-term abortionist George Tiller from Wichita, Kansas, and she painted this guy as a saint. So HLI, Human Life International, in their article, they say, you got that? Dr. Tiller was a deeply spiritual person. If you dare, this is in their article, if you dare look at some photos obtained by American Right to Life. This was Tiller's memorial service that he provided for the babies that he killed to the parents. So when Tiller himself, when he was murdered, we created a website, GeorgeTillerMemorial.com, sponsored by American Right to Life. Again, I was honored to be asked to write this very brief memorial website, because once a late-term abortionist is killed, then it's like a jihadist being martyred or the last step in the canonization of a saint to the child-killing left, right? That's what it's like. And so we knew that people would search for George Tiller Memorial. We knew that. And thankfully, to this day, even though it's been years, I think our memorial website is in the top three search results. And it says, when people see the search results, here's GeorgeTillerMemorial.com, they see it says, photos authorized by Dr. Tiller and used by permission. So that's interesting, right? Sounds like, hey, it's probably not a radical abolition group. It is, but pro-aborts might not realize that. So what I'd like to do is share with you from that page. It's a single, relatively short page. It has photos of a baby with the baby's mother and father, the baby who was murdered by George Tiller, and a handwritten note from the mother. So I'd like to share this with you, mostly because of the significance of it, of course, and in honor of the memory of this baby who was slain, but also to illustrate the effort that we make here at Bob Enyart Live. I'm on the board of Colorado Right to Life. I'm a spokesman for American Right to Life. And all of our different venues to reach people throughout this country and around the world with the truth on all these many issues. Most fundamentally, that God exists, that he created us, and that we will answer to him for our lives, and especially for whether or not we trusted or we rejected his son, Jesus Christ. God the Son, the eternal second person of the triune God, the Trinity, who created us. So those are the most important issues. When you realize that God created us, and then a baby is not just an animal, the left who claims that we have evolved from animals, ideas have consequences. A lot of people think, well, we're just animals. Just like the lie when they say our DNA shows that we're only 1% different from chimpanzees. And how stupid would a human being have to be to think, just looking physiologically, to think we're only 1% different from a chimp? How stupid. As though what? The brain doesn't count? So it turns out that when you look at all the DNA, you know, the similarities between humans and sponges, based on the methodology that they use, is extreme. Because they were looking mostly only at the proteins that are built by the DNA and ignoring vast stretches of DNA, including the incredible amount of regulatory DNA. And they were ignoring chromosomal differences. And so easily there's more than 10% that's been quantified. But even far beyond that, the journal Science once said that the differences are so extreme, it's pretty much impossible to even quantify them, just looking at our DNA, aside from everything else. So ideas have consequences, and when you reject that there is a creator God who made us, who we will answer to, then you're more inclined to think it's fine to dismember unborn children. In fact, you might be the kind of person who wants to save a tree or even save a bug, but you say, oh, I'm pro-choice, and you smile when they talk about dismembering, literally pulling the arms and legs off of little baby boys and little baby girls. So you might be that kind of person who would save a bug and crush a baby. So our website, which was linked to, referenced and linked to by this Human Life International article, it's titled, across the top, the George Tiller Memorial, Wichita. And then it says, photos authorized by Dr. Tiller and used by permission. Now, normally, we don't call an abortionist doctor. We don't honor them in that way. They're child killers. But you also need to be wise and have strategy when you're trying to get a child killer to read more than a single sentence. You want him to see what it is that he is bought into. So, authorized, photos authorized by Dr. Tiller and used by permission, which is true. It's bizarre in the way these photos came into the possession of American Right to Life. It's extraordinary, but that is true, of course. The late Wichita abortionist George Tiller had offered a memorial service in his facility after he performed an abortion. The mom and the dad in the pictures below paid George Tiller thousands of dollars to kill Tess, their baby girl. A pro-life sidewalk counselor had failed in her effort to dissuade the mother from entering the abortion mill, but did succeed in giving her address to the mom. After the child's death, and by the way, if you're listening to this at home or somewhere where you could pull up a website while you're listening, you might want to go to georgetillermemorial.com. You know, a lot of people don't know the difference between going to a website and searching for something. So you put in the address bar, not in the Google search bar, but in your browser's address bar, georgetillermemorial.com, all one word, no spaces. It will be powerful if you're able to do that to look at the photos while we are discussing this. After the child's death, the mother and the pro-lifer corresponded and became friends. Now, that's happened many times, by the way, throughout this country. Hundreds of times. It's got to be, extrapolating from what happens here in Denver, hundreds or thousands of times. In that way, a few in the pro-life community obtained these photos, permission to display them, and the handwritten letter below. These reveal the mother's pain and provide photographic proof of the depravity of abortionists. So then, next to the first photo, there are captions with each photo. The first, dedicated to Tess. This George Tiller memorial is dedicated to Tess in hopes of a soon victory in the battle against legalized child killing. The word legalized is in quotes. Mom poses with baby Tess. This is truly stunning. There is a dead baby. The mother had just paid thousands of dollars to late-term abortionist George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas. He killed her baby, and then they laid the baby out, and mom is putting her face, her cheek, down next to the baby that she just paid to have killed. So then next is a scan of the very short handwritten confession. Dear Sharon, thank you for listening. Here are the pictures of Tess. I feel so bad for the smiles on my face in some of the photos. I was in shock. By no means am I happy. To me, Tess was beautiful because she was my daughter. I left out the somewhat naked photos because they are pretty graphic, and also because I'm ashamed of letting someone make those horrible marks on her body. What kind of mother am I? I let that butcher slash her up. I was supposed to protect her. Now all I do is miss her. Thanks again. And we blotted out the mother's name. Thanks again. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, there is reconciliation. But apart from him, there is no forgiveness. And on Judgment Day, the children murdered by abortionists will speak out. They will testify against the abortionist, against the father, against the mother, the grandparents, anyone involved in conspiring and killing the child. The children themselves will testify. When there's life, there's hope. So the time to be reconciled to God and to the child that you have killed, speaking to the man or the woman or the abortionist right now who was involved in the killing of a child, the time to be reconciled is now, because later will be too late. The caption for the next photo, it's just stunningly shocking. You could see much more of the baby, just some lace cloth covering part of his body. You could see his full head, his chest, most of an arm, most of a leg, part of another leg. And there's a picture of Jesus. Isn't that something? With a rose. The caption, little Tess in swaddling clothes with a beautiful rose, a teddy bear, and a picture of Jesus, all implements to soothe the guilty conscience of the parents who have just killed their unique and precious daughter. The next photograph is of the father, and he too, like the mother, is bending over close to his baby that he just paid to have killed. And he's holding the little stuffed bear up next to her. And the caption says this, "Dad. The little girl's daddy is giving her a teddy bear just moments before she will be placed in George Tiller's incinerator, which he used to economically dispose of the bodies. Tess's mouth and nose are twisted. Hillary, Hollywood, homosexuals, and humanists support this, called partial birth abortion. George Tiller used a forceps to pull Tess's legs through the birth canal and then delivered her breech, but stopped just before her head came out. He pauses at that point to first kill her before delivering her all the way. Why? In a condemnation of America's Republican U.S. Supreme Court, he can kill her with impunity while her head is still within the mother, but a few inches further and he exposes himself to the crime of murder. In a condemnation of America's Republican U.S. Supreme Court, he can kill her with impunity while her head is still within the mother, but a few inches further and he exposes himself to the crime of murder. With her head still inside and Tess moving her arms and kicking her legs, Tiller pierced the back of her neck with a sharp instrument and then inserted a vacuum to suck out her brains. Now that Tess is dead, Tiller collapses her skull and only then removes her from the protection of her mother's womb." Wow. Of course, the partial birth abortion ban, the so-called ban, which was a horror, a moral nightmare from the beginning. We had said during the 25 years that the pro-life industry had raised $250 million and was lobbying to pass that mindless bill, we had pointed out that the partial birth abortion ban, so-called ban, wouldn't save a single innocent child. After the Supreme Court issued their ruling upholding that so-called ban, Dr. James Dobson, we had published a full-page letter to Dr. Dobson in the Colorado Springs Gazette. We also published it in the Washington Times, and we went around the country to the hometowns of the nation's largest Christian ministries, pro-family ministries, and we published that letter where we found the leaders and the largest ministries in their main newspapers. Dr. Dobson then put out in his national newsletter an article about the partial birth abortion decision, and he wrote this. You could find this at AmericanRTL.org, American Right to Life, AmericanRTL.org/PBA. He wrote this, "Ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life," unquote. Now, how could that be? How could it be that the pro-life industry would waste $250 million on a battle and raise $250 million fighting for a law that would not save a single baby? How could it be? Well, we warned exactly about this for so much of that time. The U.S. Supreme Court, in their ruling, Gonzalez v. Carhart, they said, well, we're banning partial birth abortion unless, you know, and they gave their exceptions. For the life of the mother, so if the abortionist wants to say the mother's life is at risk. We're banning it also if the mother is over-dilated, and so the baby is coming out quickly during the abortion, then you could do a textbook, partial birth abortion. And they said, but in the cases where you can't do a partial birth abortion, you could still dismember the baby, and they actually explained how to do that. so that the PBA, the partial birth abortion ruling, the opinion, was actually a late-term abortion manual. That's what it was. It was a virtual late-term abortion manual. They said the abortionist could inject a drug into the baby's cardial sac, you know, take a drug like digoxin, and as the abortionist does, he has the baby on ultrasound, and he uses that to guide the needle, and he injects into the baby's heart a drug to kill the baby. The Supreme Court justices, the very ones who were hailed by Dr. Dobson just weeks before we forced his hand to write the truth about the PBA ban and ruling, the so-called ban, he was celebrating these justices. So was Judge Roy Moore, celebrating these justices for their stand to protect innocent life. It was about as disgusting a charade as you could ever see. Because these justices, they were explaining how you could kill that same late-term baby, just use different methods, and you could still do a partial birth abortion depending on the circumstances. And you know why they said they were banning it? Because of the image of the abortion industry. Just go to AmericanRTL.org/PBA. You'll see the excerpts from their opinion itself, where they said that the partial birth abortion procedure makes the abortion industry look really bad. So surely they could come up with alternative methods to kill the fetus. And that is the ruling that National Right to Life and the Republican Party and George W. Bush and Priests for Life and Eagles Forum and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and on and on and on. That's the ruling they were all celebrating. So you could see why American Right to Life was founded, because of how corrupt the pro-life industry had become. And so, again, what an honor to be involved in the forming, the foundation of American Right to Life. This was after, as I mentioned last week briefly, National Right to Life had sued a previous effort to launch an American Right to Life, sued them. They kept them in court for a couple of years. It cost tens of thousands of dollars, and they were able to shut down this other Right to Life group who was objecting to National Right to Life's blatant politicalization of the anti-abortion movement and turning it primarily into a partisan fundraising operation. So that's what happened. And I contacted the former founder, president of American Right to Life, and he gave us his blessing and some suggestions that were very helpful. And so we started AmericanRightToLife.org. And that organization is a kind of think tank publishing white papers, if you will, on the various issues surrounding the battle to outlaw the killing of unborn children. So in many ways, American Right to Life has had a significant impact. For example, I'll give you one example. Before ARTL, go back 12 years, virtually every pro-life regulation, virtually everyone in the nation said you can't kill this baby except in these circumstances, except for rape and incest in the life of the mother. Does that sound familiar? So the bills, not by Planned Parenthood, because that's how Planned Parenthood started. That was their foundation, rape, incest in the life of the mother and other severe physical deformities. That was the foundation on which the current Holocaust was built. The very position that was National Right to Life's, that was Planned Parenthood's initial position. So how do you end grave injustice when your position is exactly that which started the injustice? It's so immoral. It's so perverse. So American Right to Life, with others, But significantly, American Right to Life and Colorado Right to Life began a national effort to educate that you don't kill a baby for the crimes of its father, and that you're helping the rapist when you abort a child who was conceived in rape. You're actually aiding and abetting rape. You see that at AmericanRTL.org/rape. So today, so many pro-life industry regulations are introduced, and they explicitly say there are no exceptions for rape and incest. Have you noticed that lately? That's almost becoming the norm against the wishes of National Right to Life, but consistent with the battle and the principles and the white papers of American Right to Life. You don't have exceptions for rape and incest. So in Ohio right now, they have a bill. They're trying to ban abortion, and there are no exceptions for rape and incest, but there is for the life of the mother, and for that, they need to learn more, that you don't stop in your effort to save the mother. You don't take time out long enough to kill the baby, because that takes time, you know? And if the mother, if her pregnancy is going to kill her, so that you need to remove the baby, you remove the baby. You don't stop to put a scissors in the back of the baby's skull and evacuate the brains. That's the lie that still the pro-life industry is confused about. So AmericanRTL.org/life will explain. In fact, if you Google life of the mother, I think you'll find us right at the top of about a billion possible results, about a billion, AmericanRTL.org/life. So the next photo, Sister Spared, is the caption. The mom who here cradled her baby's corpse paid to have her daughter killed because she had cystic fibrosis. Tess now has a sister born in early 2000 who also has cystic fibrosis, but the precious little baby sister was spared and not executed for her crime of being sick. The crime, the caption goes on, the crime, Tess had cystic fibrosis. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation states, quote, the most common CF symptoms are very salty tasting skin, persistent coughing, wheezing or pneumonia, excessive appetite, but poor weight gain, and bulky stools. Finally, the last photo, the wedding ring. Note the wedding ring on mom. So often a mom who kills her baby is married and well off. You might want to read the end of that. We'll link to it at kgov.com today. May God bless you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.